I think building your audience is the first step in anything. So I think as soon as you kind of have the idea of what you're interested in, so, you know, just your niche, like what you want to talk about, you start building that audience. Because like you mentioned, Nathan, the first thing that they come on is pretty much what you're going to rally around, like selling them or that idea. Like that is the kind of topic that you're going to bring people on and have them interested in, and then sell them similar products that make sense. So I think you start selling, you know, building your audience as soon as you can. It's the lifeline of your business. It will be the most important thing.
You're listening to The Growth Booth, the show focused on achieving lifestyle freedom through online businesses. Whether you're looking for step-by-step strategies to start building an online business, simple game plans to grow your business, or proven lifestyle freedom frameworks, you are in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the thousands of listeners already in growth mode.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 39 of The Growth Booth, where today we're talking about million dollar funnels. And this is part one of a two-part series where we're going to be talking about what a funnel is and then ultimately how to scale a funnel, use a funnel to build a multi-million dollar business. And like I say, today is the first of a two-part series, and I'm joined here by Alison Hoyt, who has agreed to come along. So thanks so much for taking some time out of your day there, Alison. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Alison is the Chief Marketing Officer in our business, and she's just got a ton of experience in dealing with funnels. And I guess it's important from the get-go for people to understand that funnels are essentially a tool to build an audience. What's important is not the funnel, but rather the audience. That's really what we care about. It's building up those subscriber bases and then ultimately using them to help you build a better business and to provide a lot of value in the process of doing that. So, Alison, I know that you've got a ton of experience in building funnels. I mean, I was thinking just prior to this getting on this call with you that, you know, we've worked on things related to e-commerce with funnels, affiliate marketing, info products, software as a service, even offline businesses as well, and so much more. And I think one of the really good news, best parts of funnels for people is that the fundamentals don't really change. Like when you're working on a funnel related to an affiliate marketing business or an e-commerce business, you're using the same sort of rules and frameworks and almost even the same pages.
Yeah, and I think that surprises people, and it even surprised me probably when I first started. But like you said, it's the same format. Like you're still talking to people the same, you're still building an audience, you're still building the relationship. And the main part of the funnel is to bring them on and then to build that relationship so they trust you and want to follow you and be about everything that you're selling and buying as well.
Yeah. So I think for a lot of people, this idea of a funnel, it just sounds complex, or it's been made to sound complex. I know that some of the software tools and so forth that people use to build funnels are actually complicated to use. So, you know, a listener could be forgiven for thinking that, oh my God, this is something complicated. But maybe you could give our listeners here today a simple overview of what a bare bones funnel sort of looks like, so we can boil it down to something that is quite simple to understand.
Yeah, and I totally get that hearing it is probably overwhelming. Like you said, like, oh, I need a funnel. I need 1,200 pieces to it. I think that a bare bones funnel, I always break it down into your email funnel and then your web funnel. So, you know, your basic funnel, which I'm sure we'll get into a ton more during this chat, is, you know, when somebody signs up, when they come on to your list. So they sign up, they get a thank you page welcoming them, and they're told that they're going to be coming on to your email list. And then once you start to actually email them, you know, the funnel that they come onto, which you call, you know, the welcome onboarding series. And that is where you welcome them, sell them anything on your end, talk about, you know, your expertise and passion. So really there's two main parts of the funnel. And through there, you can build it as complex or as big as you want. But as long as you have that place for the people to actually come on and then cultivate that relationship, those are the two main parts, I think, of the funnel that's important.
Right. And a funnel page, the page that someone actually goes to when they enter your funnel, if you like, This could be as simple as a blog post, or it could be a squeeze page with nothing else other than like an opt-in form. In fact, if someone wants to see what one of these things looks like, they could head over to thegrowthbooth.com and you'll see that there's ways that you can subscribe to become a listener who gets updates about the different episodes that we've got with the Growth Booth. And when you're doing that, you are essentially entering somewhat of a funnel. Now, that's not a funnel that's been built out or anything, but you're still going to be entering an ecosystem that could be used as a funnel. So I guess that entry page is essentially an email opt-in of some kind on some page, which could take lots of forms.
Yeah, that could be anything. Like you just said, I mean, you're on a store website, an e-commerce site, and they're saying, hey, sign up for our free deals. Sign up for 15% off. You're entering your email. You're starting that funnel. So you're right. Anytime that you enter your email, that's when the funnel is beginning. And it could be off a website, a store page, a blog site, a free giveaway, anything that you are looking and that you have traffic to.
So you mentioned that after someone enters their email, they're taken to a thank you page. What's the purpose of the thank you page other than just saying, hey, thanks for subscribing? Is there any other special thing that it's designed to do, to set people up for?
I like on a thank you page, to me, like it's really about telling them what's next, because we all know with email rules and everything like that, a lot of the times your email will go to spam, or sometimes people don't check it right away, especially if you're telling them where to download like an ebook per se or a free report. So you're going to say, hey, we're sending that to your email, because the important thing is once they open your email, you know, that's when you start those open rates and getting on, getting people to be used to opening your emails and hear from you. So on the thank you page, I like to say, here's what's next, and not make them wait for that email to see. Right on that thank you page, they see what's coming, whether it's more information from you. Maybe it's a video, you know, talking about yourself, selling your product or somebody else's product. So I just like to tell them what's next right away, because they're waiting to hear. They entered their email. Now what? What's happening yet?
And if someone has opted in, subscribed in order to receive something from you, maybe a PDF or an ebook or whatever it is, do you normally like to deliver that on the thank you page, or do you like to deliver it as an email?
So I like to do it as an email, because what's the, you know, you're sending them, you're getting their email, and what's their incentive to open the email if you give it on the thank you page? So to me, that's where I like to say, like, it's coming in the email, because if you give it on the thank you page, they've gotten everything they want from you. And we do know some people are just signing up for that 15% off code or that free ebook. So when you tell them they have to actually open the email, that's helping your open rates and helping them say, hey, like, maybe they have some valuable information that they'll be emailing us from here on out.
And it's just so vital that first email that anyone gets from you, that they open it. It's an amazing, unique opportunity that you only get one time. If someone comes into your ecosystem, they've subscribed, and they open that first email, and not just open it, but go one step further and actually click on something in that email, that is one of the best things and simplest things you can do to boost your deliverability and open rates in the future. So that's a really good tip there about if you're promising something, actually deliver it to them in the email. What about on the thank you page? Is this a place where you would normally link out to maybe social profiles, other bits and pieces, or is that more of a distraction? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you're not giving anything away, I mean, that can definitely be your time to, you know, tell them to visit other pages as well, because you know now that they're going to be having to open that email in order to get something from you. And we know how important that is. So I would definitely talk about social pages. Like I said, maybe a thank you video. If you have something to sell right away, it may be saying, hey, you know, thank you for signing up to this. If you want to take it a step further, check out this offer. And I would, you know, the social profiles, again, that's another great way to communicate with them if they're not opening their emails fully every day or not hearing from you every day. And I would definitely reinforce that even in your emails as well.
I think also, you know, it's great to have these multiple touch points with people. So they're on your email list, but if you've got social media as well, then it's great to have them following that, because you can you can reach out to people in multiple different ways. And I think that thank you page and any of the communications that you have with people early on in the relationship can be about starting to build up rapport, starting to build up that relationship, starting to make that connection, because that's really what you're trying to do. And if you can do that, then when the time comes to actually sell something, then you've got that credibility and you've got that trust, and it makes the job of actually selling something and getting your message across just so much easier. So something else I wanted to ask you about there is we've spoken a little bit about the pages people come into. What about the email sequence that follows? I think you mentioned there were sort of two parts to the funnel, the web funnel and then the email funnel. Where do we start with that? How do you typically approach an email funnel?
So, like you said, the first most important email is that first email. I mean, that is where you get the open rates, the click-through rates. That's where, you know, the IPs and the email servers start to trust you and know that these people actually signed up for something and are interested in your emails and not marking it as spam. So, you know, your first email is always going to be welcome. Thank you for signing up. And after that, you know, the first 7-8 days, I like to hit them every single day. And that may seem overwhelming for people or feel like that's a lot of information. But this, when people first come on, like that's when they are most interested, most engaged. That's when those buyers typically happen. You hear a lot of the times within the first 30 days, like that is when people are buyers and most interested. And so I like to hit them for 7-8 days, and not just with, hey, buy our stuff or buy maybe this affiliate offer that we're pushing. Give them real content on maybe, you know, what the signup was about, whether they visited you on a blog or an ebook. Give them content, give them information, give value to them. And then, you know, you start sprinkling in that, hey, here's something that we could sell. Here's something you may be interested in that could make you money on the side. But I think that whole series, before you start them in a regular, hey, here's some offers, here's some information, is really about building that relationship with them. Because I think right. You mentioned before, like, you know, if they don't trust you, they're not getting anything from you.
Yeah. You always have to think about what's in it for them,
right?
As this relationship starts. What's your take on double opt-in? And maybe you could just explain what that is, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I keep kind of going back and forth on the idea of double opt-in, whether we should do it or not. And I've been like that back maybe 15 years ago, I was all about double opt-in. And as time has gone by, I'm sort of like a ping pong ball. I'm going back and forth. I don't really have my mind made up one way or another on that. So what explain to people what double opt-in is and what your thoughts are.
So double opt-in is when a user opts in to your email address or to your email, opt-in on your page, and then they get an email and they have to confirm that they actually want to be on your list. And they will not then go into your mailing system, not be able to be mailed. You're not using them until they double opt in. So they are confirming that, yes, indeed, that they put in their information and are interested in being on your list. So I agree with you. I go back and forth. You know, a lot of the people say that double opt in is better quality. And sure, it probably is, because those people are confirming yet again that they want to be on your list. But we're also talking about the issues that the email servers are doing nowadays and going to spam or pushing you in the promotions inbox. So people may not ever get that email from you. And I think then you're missing a big opportunity to, you know, market to them and cultivate your relationship with them. They're never going to hear from you again if they don't double opt in.
Yeah, I feel like double opt in has got a place for sure. But if the offer is very clear that you are giving someone, then they just want to get it. And a double opt-in is almost like another barrier or an obstacle in the way. I think there are ways when you can use it sort of deliberately as an extra barrier, and you can tell people about it. Look, you know, you're going to have to double opt-in here. You're going to have to do this because this, and you can really build a story and build a case around that. But all things being equal, nowadays in most projects, I think I prefer to move forward without the double opt-in. And obviously, this assumes that deliverability, performance, and everything like that is going well inside my email autoresponder account. If it's not, then maybe this is one of the first things that you'd come back and look at.
Yeah, and right. I mean, like if you're getting a ton of spam, it's definitely a barrier to be able to make sure they're real people and real email addresses. And yeah. Before you start mailing them and mess up your IPs and your emailing.
So we've started to dive into a funnel. We've spoken about how, you know, you've got web pages that are going to be sort of strategic, like the place someone opt in, like a thank you page. We've started to talk about adding an email sequence into place. If we just go back one step further, though, when we are getting someone in, do you need to be giving them something for free to help them opt in? Or do you go straight to selling them something that might be a $1 offer, super cheap offer? What is your process or best practice, if you like, generally speaking, because I know every offer is different, but generally speaking, yeah, for getting someone coming in that funnel, subscribing to your database in the first place?
So there's definitely two ways. I think one, the free offer is something that obviously converts very high because people are interested in getting that freebie. Are they always the most quality? Maybe not, because again, like you said, some people just want the free thing. And that's why we also put it in the email so that they have to open that first email and at least, you know, start that relationship with you. So there's the option, yes, that they get something for free, whether it, like we said, be a coupon code, a white paper, a one-page list. Like, it doesn't have to be an extensive 30-page ebook. But there is I do like when you tell them to opt in that you give them something. And then there's the other section where there's a low ticket offer. So maybe you're telling them to spend 99 cents, like you said, $7, $47, whatever it may be. The good part is that you know that when somebody pulls out a credit card of any sort, whether it be for 99 cents or $30, they're more likely to become a buyer. They're more committed to you because they did pull out their credit card even once. So there is a way with that low ticket that you can collect the email address, show them that offer right away, and then you know that you have probably a more committed, loyal buyer to you.
Today's show is brought to you by the Blueprint Academy, a coaching service that I've been providing for about 8 years now. If you're interested in getting one-on-one coaching from me and my team of experts, as well as being able to leverage the resources and infrastructure that I've got in my business, then head over to thegrowthbooth.com/academy to get all the details. I'm passionate about helping people build businesses online, and this is where I can help you. So again, head over to that link, thegrowthbooth.com/academy, and find out how we can help you at the Blueprint Academy today. That's probably something, yeah, and that's also something that you can do on the thank you page. If someone has opted in to, I don't know, get a one-page PDF or get a coupon or something, they're going to get that. It's going to land in their inbox. But at the same time, if you wanted to, you could still say, hey, you know, while you're waiting for that email to arrive, it could take 5 minutes, check this out. We've got a special offer on today, $1, and you can get, you know, part two of whatever it is, or get a bigger whatever it is that you were offering. So that's a great way to get people to take that next micro step in the relationship. A couple of other things that I thought about there while you were sharing that information was, I think from my perspective, the ideal sort of opt-in sort of lead magnet or offer or whatever it is that you're giving people should be something that's easily consumable. So if I could choose between a one-page infographic or a one-page PDF versus a 30-page manual, I would totally go with the one-pager. And the benefit to you when you're doing this is that it's just so much simpler and easier. I mean, anyone can make a one-page document in 10, 15 minutes, or you can outsource it for, you know, $10 or something. So something that's very, very consumable that people can open up, they can look at it and they can say, oh, wow, you know, there's some really good information in here. The second thing is to make sure that whatever you're offering is highly targeted. So you're going to have some kind of ad or information around why someone should opt in. And you sort of want that to solve a problem or to start solving a problem for your new subscriber. And the more targeted that thing is, the better you're going to do with opt-ins, and the easier you're going to go towards building that relationship. So super consumable, super targeted, smaller is better, and then just keep it simple. You know, people tend to overcomplicate it, but if you've got an e-commerce store, you can set up a coupon in about 1 minute. And that could be the basis of the start of your funnel. You don't have to mess around with doing complex things or making anything. You know, it's just keep it super simple and you can always improve it later.
And I think people, like you said, think that you have to do like a huge ebook because they just think, oh, well, it's value. This is something free that you're giving away. And like you said, the audience may, this may be beginner level. This may be that they have no idea what you're talking about. As long as it's something that's simple, easy to follow, give them information that they'll want to take that next step and get more value from you and keep reading and keep learning from you. And I think that's super important.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Totally agree. I want to get to monetization soon, but before that, I think one piece that we haven't really spoken about yet is traffic. So what are your favorite go-to traffic sources that, and I guess, again, it's going to be different for different projects. We've said that, you know, we've applied funnels to affiliate marketing, e-commerce, info products, offline businesses, but, you know, all things being equal, what are the main traffic sources that you like to start with?
I think, you know, in a lot of, you know, across the board in a lot of businesses, the easiest, and I say easy, I mean, there's still work, there's still money to be put in, but the fastest things to get up on is, you know, search traffic, Google, Bing, social media, Facebook, YouTube. But something really interesting that I've seen a lot lately is a lot of content outreach and guest blogging. And if you have a good presence and you're interested in, you know, putting your content out there, guest interviewing places, working with other big content channels to be able to promote your offer as well. I think that's an interesting thing too. And you see these influencers out there, you know, with all this traffic and a lot of followers, and they promote products and people are really following them and interested. And I feel like if you link up with people like that, that have a strong audience already, that gives you a lot of credibility as well.
And, you know, the other thing that I think is really exciting here is this is clearly a case of you can do the work one time and keep benefiting from it over and over again. So if you've got sort of a robust, it doesn't need to be complicated, but a simple funnel set up that brings people in, provides some value, and then hopefully got something to monetize it with, which we'll talk about in a moment, then that's something that you can really put to work for you, and you can adopt and, you know, and an organic approach to getting traffic. It doesn't have to be paid traffic. So we do a lot of that. In fact, with this podcast, you know, this podcast gets a lot of organic views and people come in and they've got an opportunity to subscribe over at thegrowthbooth.com and blog posts in general as well, and social media shares. It doesn't always have to be about go and spend money. But if you are spending money, then, you know, thankfully these days, and we're going to talk a lot more about this in, what is it, an episode, it'll be episode number 41 and 42, where I'm going to talk about the fastest way to make $1,000 online. So a few episodes away right now, but we're going to start talking a lot more about different types of paid traffic. But the point I was going to make is that it's probably easier than it's ever been to flick a switch and start getting people coming into your funnel, to your website, onto your subscriber list, and also with some of the tools, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the next episode, in episode number 40 of The Growth Booth, but the tracking is more sophisticated than ever. So you can turn on Google paid traffic. You can turn on, you know, Microsoft Bing. You can turn on Facebook ads, and the strategy will vary a little bit. Facebook, for example, is interrupt driven, but you can still get some great results there. Google, Microsoft, normally you're serving up solutions that people are already searching for, so you can get really great results there. And again, I think that the real moral here, the point I'm trying to get across, is once you've got that traffic, you can very quickly track the profitability of it by source, and then that allows you to obviously quickly start to scale. So
I think, like you said, it's important to know that, like, you can turn these on very quickly. Like, you can go set up an AdWords account if you don't have one in 5 minutes, and then, you know, work on adding your keywords and ads, but very quick. So once you have your topic and your niche and what you're passionate about and going to be pushing traffic to, it'll be really easy, I think, to put everything else together to send that traffic to.
I think oftentimes people have had a tough time of doing something in the past. Like maybe they had an ad account shut down, or maybe they tried to build a funnel and it was complicated. And at least for me, in my own personal experience, that almost creates like a mental roadblock for me. And it's more like a psychological block, because I'm thinking, oh, you know, last time I tried to do that thing, it was really complicated.
Do it again.
And I put it in the too hard basket. But I think with traffic and funnels and building a subscriber base, things have and continue to progress so quickly in the online space that if this is something that you've tried in the past, or maybe you haven't tried because you were intimidated by it, it really is easier than ever to whip up a couple of pages with your favorite page building tool and start to drive traffic. And just as long as you've got some basic tracking there, you're going to know pretty quickly whether or not it's working. So the way that, or the thing that's going to probably dictate if it's working or not, is how much money you're making, for the most part. So monetization, what are some easy ways that people can monetize? And, you know, keep in mind that not everyone has got their own product. You know, so what are some thoughts around monetization, and where does it come into the funnel?
I think the best place to start, if you don't have your own offer and you don't, you know, you aren't looking to do that at this moment, is getting affiliate offers that are similar to what you're pushing. So, you know, what you're passionate about, if you're talking about, I don't know, like if you're talking about small business opportunities in a certain niche, for example, then you would maybe look for those kind of affiliate offers that link well with that. If you can't have your own offer, this is the perfect thing to do. Use other people's offers, other people's, you know, brand and things like that, and start selling right away. And your question of where you can do this, I mean, right away. I think that in the thank you page, like we said, if you're not pushing your own offer, you can put an affiliate offer that links and makes sense. As soon as you start your email funnel, maybe you don't want to push it right away, but if you're giving content that is talking about it, you can add a PS in, you can give the affiliate link within, hey, you can do, you want to do this, you can use this tool to do this. Go use my coupon code or this link to get X percent off. And just start throwing it in there. And as that audience starts trusting you and you talk to them more and building that relationship, it'll be important to continue sending them marketing emails about this kind of stuff and offers. And as they are interested, like, oh, well, we trust you and we have this relationship with you and you're pushing this product, then we should check it out as well. It'll become easier, I think, to make money and monetize other offers.
Yeah, you know, I think affiliate marketing is really a great place to start, and it's something that people can use almost across the board. So, you know, just imagine you've got a local business. You can still be an affiliate to some other local business, or if you've got an e-commerce store, you might have dozens or even hundreds of products on your own store, but you can still sell other products as an affiliate. You can still sell products on Amazon as an affiliate, or any other, you know, wide range of different affiliate networks. So affiliate marketing is definitely something that can slot in there. I also think that obviously if you've got an e-commerce store, then especially if you're doing dropshipping, because dropshipping allows you to sell a lot of other people's products anyway, you can add a range of different products to your store that are related to what people are interested in. If they've opted in because they're learning about, survivalism or something like this, then you can start selling products that are related to that. If they've opted in because they wanted to get a PDF about, seven ways to make your skin shine more or whatever people want to do these days, then you can then sell products, physical products related to that. Or you could go ahead and find an affiliate product on the likes of ClickBank that is somehow related to beauty or skincare or whatever it might be. So I think the monetization is almost the easy part. And normally you've got a wealth of options at your disposal when you just start thinking outside the square a little bit and understanding that it doesn't have to be your own product. Now, in saying this, if you do want to create your own product of some kind, it could be a physical product, could be an info product, software tool, whatever, then that's probably the place where you're going to get the highest margins, because you're not taking a 50% commission, or you're not taking
a margin.
You just own the entire thing. And that's really, I think, where you can get to scaling. We might talk a little bit more about that next week. I think I'm conscious of your time here today, though, Alison. So maybe this is a good place to wrap up. I think we've given a good overview of what a funnel is, why it's important. And again, just to really emphasize, if you get this right, if you get a funnel and a subscriber sort of flow right, then you never need to worry about making money online from any project ever again, because this is the lifeblood of any online business. Even offline businesses, they need funnels. So I think if you just understand that and focus some attention on it, then you'll do incredibly well. We will be diving into this much more in the next episode next week, which will be episode number 40 of The Growth Booth. I am going to make sure we also include show notes, some links out to different tools and bits and pieces that we've spoken about here today. Just before we go, though, I did have one question. I know there are going to be people listening to this and they might be thinking, oh, you know, I'm just starting out with a new project. This is, you know, I'm working on building a new affiliate website, or I'm working on an e-commerce business. Should I start working on a funnel on day one? Or should I wait until I've got a bit of a foundation there with my affiliate website? Any thoughts around that, Alison?
I think building your audience is the first step in anything. So I think as soon as you kind of have the idea of what you're interested in, so, you know, just your niche, like what you want to talk about, you start building that audience. Because like you mentioned, Nathan, the first thing that they come on is pretty much what you're going to rally around, like selling them or that idea. Like that is the kind of topic that you're going to bring people on and have them interested in, and then sell them similar products. That makes sense. So I think you start selling, you know, building your audience as soon as you can. It's the lifeline of your business. It will be the most important thing.
And in terms of the actual setup, I want all of our listeners to know that this is something that you can get set up in 30 or 40 minutes. It doesn't have to be something that is long-winded and going to take weeks of planning. I mean, if I had to do this right now, I could set up a simple page. If I've already got a website, then even easier. If I've already got an e-commerce store or an affiliate store, then all I have to do is add an opt-in box, which I can easily do and get some. I can get that set up with my, you know, my autoresponder. And then I've got the basic mechanism there, and I could add a thank you page or a thank you email. And at the bare bones, in its simplest form, I could have that up and running in probably 15 or 20 minutes. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. So it might sound like a lot of work. It might sound complicated, but it doesn't have to be. Okay. So we will get into more of the advanced stuff in the next episode, where I want to talk about scaling to seven figures. We'll talk about the types of emails that you can use, different ninja tricks. Alison just mentioned a PS in the emails. I want to dive into that a little bit more in the next episode and share how we like to use that in our business. And also, I want us to reverse engineer, you know, how many subscribers you would need to be able to make $1 million per year from a funnel, which is going to be much more doable than you might realize. So that's a wrap for this episode. Remember to head over to The Growth Booth, navigate to number 39, episode number 39, to see show notes. You can also see the video of this episode over at YouTube. Just head over to YouTube, do a search for The Growth Booth, and you'll find the video. So Alison, thank you once again so much for just taking some time out of here and sharing some of your knowledge around funnels, and look forward to getting you on the next episode.
Thanks for having me.